to the near post. Messi to the net. Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Punta Rica. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, soccer fans, we're off and running here tonight. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is on the air tonight. The call-in number throughout the show is 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 on the heels of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman and the Blitz. It's always a it's a big bar to kind of uphold here. Come on after those guys. Boy, we have a lot to talk about tonight. We have a lineup here tonight that's exceptional. We've got one of only three men in the history of the game to have played in World Cups. Five of them. Count them. One, two, three, four, five. Lothar Matthäus captained the German national team in 1990 to the World Cup win. Also played over 300 games for Bayern Munich, scoring 80-plus goals. Bayern Munich will be in town this summer. He's kind of an ambassador for the ICC. So Lothar Matthäus will be on the show tonight, talking all things Bayern Munich and what will be a historic matchup here in Houston when Real Madrid comes to town. Also, Brandi Chastain is going to come on here in a moment of in minutes. We will have her on the show live. We're going to talk about the women's game and where it has come to at this point. On Sunday, the U.S. women and Jill Ellis will take on Belgium as they continue to prepare for the FIFA Women's World Cup this summer. And, you know, I want to ask Brandi through her lens where the game has gotten to now. But let's not forget, 1999, that is a watershed moment, not only for women's soccer, for women's sports. And the fruits of that labor will be seen in this Women's World Cup this summer because of the rise of the women's game all around the globe. So this is going to be a really fun interview. And so all the 99ers are going to be, except for two of them, I believe, are going to be in Los Angeles. And they're going to be honored. They're going to be taking part in many, many events. It's going to be really awesome. I think they're going to the U.S. Women's National Team practice. So it's going to be good. Is Brandi ready? All right, let's go now. She is the one and only Brandi Chastain joining us now. Brandi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
It's good to talk to you, Brandi. And as you're out there continuing all your great soccer work in so many different ways, you heard what I just said about 99 and how kind of the fruits of that labor I see and what you guys did in that tournament to expose the world to women's sports and women's soccer. I guess we've seen that elevated with what we're about to see this coming summer in France.
Oh, there's no doubt that what's happened since 20 years ago has been wonderful for women's sports. I think it's also an incredible time to be a young girl in sports. I coach youth soccer in the DA here in California, and just the opportunities that they have to, be competitive and challenge themselves and, try and make the next level and dream about being a professional and making the national team. It's just, it's wonderful. And, I had the opportunity of going with the, I think it was 12 athletes that were wearing the new Nike jerseys that will be displayed during the World Cup. And I took a moment to say to all of them, I'm so happy for you. This is such a wonderful opportunity you're going to have. The fact that women's soccer is being broadcast the way it is, not only just, being on the runway in Paris, to playing in wonderful stadiums and all across France, but the way it's really been looked at around the world. I spoke with one of the players from Chile. I mean, you're thinking this is the first time Chile will ever be in the World Cup. And, the fight that's in front of them is real, and it's the same fight we've been having for 20 to 30 years, but, we still have to keep plugging even though we feel like we're in a really good place. So, there's still a lot of work to do, but this summer will should really be very exciting.
She's Brandi Chastain joining us now, and I know you've been doing a lot of coaching work. Take us into some of the coaching work you've been doing.
Well, I coach and volunteer for many different groups. So my husband's been at Santa Clara University women's soccer for 33 seasons now, and so for me, I get to see the likes of the Leslie Osbournes, the Allie Wagners, the Danielle Slaytons who came through our program and then onto the national team, and now Julie Johnson, Ertz, and so being able to watch her in the World Cup will be awesome. So I volunteer at that level. I coach high school boys varsity soccer here in Northern California, and we were the champions this year of Northern California State Championship, so that was very exciting. And then I coach two teams in the U.S. Soccer DA program. And, you know, for me, my love of soccer has never waned, and my desire to work with our young national teams I don't think it could be any more in the front of my head than it is right now, especially with the World Cup right around the corner. And I just feel that the experiences that I've had with those players that you talked about from 99 and before, I just feel that those experiences are too valuable to not share with the next group of young players coming through. And what can we learn, and what can we use, and what can we change, and how can we grow? And I hope that I have another chance to be on the field for another 20 years.
So I have an obvious question. Do you want to coach U.S. Women's National Team youth teams? I mean, what's your ambition as a coach? I mean, why aren't we recycling some of these great players into coaching? And how many of your ex-teammates are coaches like you?
Well, the answer to the first question is yes. I mean, I'd love to be a part of the youth national team programs. Like I said, you know, I feel the lessons and experiences have been invaluable. And having now been coaching in the DA for a couple of years and, you know, with Santa Clara for, gosh, a decade or more, you know, I feel that I have a good idea of, you know, what it takes to not only be successful as an individual, but how to bring teams together and create successful lineups and, you know, make lineup changes and formation changes and, you know, tactical changes on the fly. So I think that I could be an asset to U.S. soccer. Why it hasn't happened, you know, that's not, I don't know that answer, but I know that there's definitely a handful of former players that, you know, have been kind of in and out of the mix, and yet none of us are really in full time and coaches at this moment. I hope that can change.
Brandi Chastain joining us. All right, so the U.S. women under Jill Ellis are going to take on Belgium as they continue their preparations. Thursday, they're going to be in action as well. But Sunday, it'll be Belgium in Los Angeles, and that's when the 99 team and Brandi are going to be honored, and you guys are going to be involved in a million and one things, and you're going to be all over our ESPN broadcast, which is going to be fun and exciting. But when you look at the women's national team right now, and having gone through this process of preparation for a World Cup and getting to the point where you're getting closer and closer to being there and playing these friendlies, what do you think are some of the biggest question marks for Jill Ellis at this point?
Well, I think, you know, number one, I think we, you know, there's a cliche about defense wins championships. And I think that's definitely something that we need to really hone right now, is what is our defensive back four, if we're going to play four, or back three, mm-hmm. And how will we defend as a team, and ultimately, who's going to be in goal? Those are critical decisions that Jill Ellis is going to have to make. And then they're going to have to start, you know, working on it immediately, because, you know, the type of relationship you have to have with your teammates so that things become instinctive as opposed to reactionary is critical. You know, being able to see something or see danger before it happens is, you know, is necessary. You really, you know, you can't be operating on reaction, otherwise you're going to be too late. So at that level. So, you know, what kind of defending are we going to do? Are we defending from the front back? Are we defending with the back six? Or, you know, are we, you know, pushing them in, pushing them out? What are we trying to force the other teams to do? You know, those questions need to be answered, and I really look forward to watching for those things come Sunday.
Yeah, and also Thursday night they'll be in action as well. We're talking to Brandi Chastain. Really appreciate her being on the program here tonight ahead of what is going to be a remarkable World Cup this summer. Do you think this will be the most competitive World Cup on the women's side ever, Brandy, just based on the growth of all these other great soccer-playing nations?
Well, I think that the number of teams that could potentially win the World Cup is definitely increasing. I think, you know, there's no taking anything for granted. And I don't think that any team ever has, but you definitely have to be sharp in every moment. And, you know, a few key mistakes can turn your World Cup upside down. So, and you know, having experienced that myself, you know, with the own goal against Germany in the quarterfinal and, you know, us coming back and winning that game, you know, you have to have a team that's very strong, that's very together, that's, you know, very resilient and has tremendous amount of trust. So, you know, I think there's a great amount of teams that have talent, and I think you hit it, you know, on the head saying that, you know, with the growth of women's soccer, not so much that soccer didn't exist before, it's just the opportunity to play has really given this World Cup, I think, a chance to be incredibly spectacular going into the knockout rounds.
Brandy, last one before we let you go. We're up on a hard break, and I know you got to get to coaching, and we really appreciate you doing this and jumping on here. And she's going right out onto the fields after this, so we're going to let her get going. So real quick, what's it going to mean to be back with that team, that 99 team, this Sunday when you guys all convene in Los Angeles?
Well, gosh, I mean, every moment with those women is special, and it's incredible how we can literally be in each other's presence and be right back to where we were. You know, the laughs and the joking and the reminiscing just feels incredible. But I think, you know, what's really special is that as adults now, we can, you know, have good perspective about, you know, what did it mean and, you know, how do we continue going forward with the legacy of what happened in 99 and how we can continue to contribute to positive outcomes, not just here in the U.S., but, you know, globally, if possible. And, again, after I was with a few of the players this past week in New York, and, you know, it's ever clear as it's ever been that, you know, these are ambassadors of the game. They are not just dedicated to the fact that, yes, we were champions in 99, and, you know, that's the story. They continue to want to work and help and be a part of it in any way necessary so that other young women can have an opportunity to feel exactly how we did when that final whistle blows at the end of the day.
Brandy, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming on. Look forward to seeing you out in Los Angeles, and get on those fields and get it done tonight, as I know you will.
All right. Thank you so much, Glenn. You take care.
All right. You're the best. Brandy Chastain joining us tonight. And, boy, that iconic moment hitting that game-winning penalty against Canada, one of the most iconic moments in women's sports history. I don't think any question the women will be in action, the current U.S. Women's National Team, Thursday. Sunday they will take on Belgium. We're going to take a break here. We're going to thank the Daspit Law Firm for being our presenting sponsor. John and his firm, John Daspit, personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You might get in an accident. Yeah, we all do. Car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery. They will have you covered, the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. You get the representation you need at Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. I remind you, I'm dropping a pair of tickets tonight during this show for the pediatric cancer event tomorrow. It's called A Night of Champions. You can mix with Bill Worrell, the Rockets play-by-play man, Bill Brown, former Astros play-by-play man, still involved. And somehow I got on the ticket as well. We will be talking about experiences as play-by-play men, travel, trips, coaches, behind-the-scenes stories. It is very casual. Starts promptly at 6:30. All proceeds to 501c charities, the Snowdrop Foundation, and the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. 42 goals scored in Major League Soccer this past weekend. 3.5 goals per game average. Toronto FC, Sporting LAFC, the Dynamo, all leading the way in scoring goals in Major League Soccer. I'm going to tell you why it's happening when we return.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now for Glenn to name today's big winner.
The winner takes it all. You know you're looking at a winner, winner, winner.
Because we're a winner. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Everyone's a winner, baby, that's the truth.
From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
God, I love that song. That's Hot Chocolate. Nobody knows. It's a big hit in England. This song. Oh, it's a great song. Well, our big winner this week. Toronto FC fans were up in arms when Sebastian Giovinco, they didn't shell out the money to keep him. Well, Toronto FC went out and found a player, Alejandro Pozuelo, a Spaniard, playing in Belgium. Two of his goals were absolutely sick goals on his debut. And all of a sudden, the TFC fans are feeling a little bit better about Sebastian Giovinco's replacement. Now, Giovinco will go down as one of the greatest players in MLS history based on his time here. But let's take a listen to two of these goals. One was an audacious chip that was just remarkable. And then the Panenka from the penalty spot, which then Zlatan Ibrahimovic matched. So it's a weekend of a lot of goals being scored in Major League Soccer. But let's go to the Pozuelo first goal against New York City FC. This is his debut.
In almost an hour of play in his Major League Soccer debut, he got an assist on the first. And Pozuelo with a cheeky chip down the middle. The audacity.
Yeah, the audacity. Then he would get a second, which was even more sick. And I think you need to go to MLSsoccer.com. I don't know if we have it posted on Facebook Soccer Matters, but this is a goal you got to look at because it's pretty remarkable.
It's Pozuelo. Pozuelo!
Statement to the fans from Toronto FC, the organization, because they go out and they find the caliber of this guy. So we saw a lot of goals scored. These were wonderful, wonderful moments in Major League Soccer this past weekend with all the different types of goals that were scored. That segment, by the way, it's brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's. It's the pub 7620 Katy Freeway, my good friend Peter, who used to be the head of the Gorgeous Gale. We had many great times at the Gorgeous Gale with the Liverpool Supporters Group. His new place, Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. If you're going west on I-10, it's in that Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 TVs, big screens, great food, and Houston LFC there, Liverpool Supporters Group. Okay, so that is our big winner, Alejandro Pozuelo. Pair of goals on his debut for Toronto FC, beating New York City FC 4-0. Now, that takes me back to what I mentioned before the show. There were 12 games over Friday and the weekend. Last round of Major League Soccer. 42 goals scored. That's an average of 3.5 a game. Toronto FC had 4. Sporting Kansas City put 7 on Montreal. Christian Nemeth, which people forgot to consider because everybody was saying, well, the biggest piece that's missing for Sporting Kansas City and Peter Vermes is a goal scorer. Well, Christian Nemeth is on a goal-scoring tear in Major League Soccer. LAFC then puts a beat down on San Jose. Now, the Earthquakes are in a little bit of trouble under Matias Almeida. And Alexi Lalas did a State of the Union, his podcast, and it was very good. And what he said in this podcast, and we have to give him credit for this one because it's the truth, Major League Soccer is built for quick turnarounds. So when people say it's going to take 3-4 years to get to where we need to get, it's not a great sell to the MLS fan, okay? Because a lot of teams make the playoffs. 14 teams out of 24 will make the playoffs. If you don't make the playoffs, and I've said this a million times on this show, it's a bad season. There has to be a line of demarcation. And sometimes there isn't a lot of consequence during the regular season. It's a problem the NBA has. It's a problem a lot of leagues have. But it does mean you can restore things very, very quickly. I'm a little surprised when Matias Almeida signed, because I don't know if he understood the situation in San Jose. How much homework was done by him and his agent? Did San Jose think, well, we're just going to bring a coach in and he's going to coach them up and they're going to be a better team? Because he's been this masterful guy. Coach him up. That's an American football term you hear high school coaches down here in Texas use. I see Andrew Carlson, producer, laughing. But, was he going to make players better and get them to play beyond their what many people think are their capability? I mean, that's what a great coach does. That team needs more talent. That team needs signings, and it has to support Almeida. There's already rumblings about Almeida going back to Chivas. Yeah, like, why would he want to go back there? Unless they pay him all his money up front, right? I'm rooting for him to succeed. But there is this fallback position in MLS. And the fallback position is when you're not winning and you're not doing well and you tell everybody it takes time and, yada, yada, yada. Here's the excuse. As Alexi said, you kick the can down the road. And I think people get tired of hearing that and they get fatigued. And I think that's what happens in places like Colorado. To a degree, that's happened here in Houston. That, the fans have gotten fatigued and now the Dynamo have to earn them back. And the Dynamo have a solid product. And even 2 years ago when the Dynamo had this entertaining team that was often almost a little bit chaotic 2 years ago, they got to the Western Conference Final. The situation in San Jose is dangerous. It's flatlining. And guess what? The Dynamo get them in their next game at home. So the Dynamo could go to 13 points here. And I think the Dynamo certainly need to continue to pad the points here at this point, because they do have a very difficult schedule. And if you're a Dynamo fan, go take a look at the schedule, because come the end of May into July, they got like 7 out of 10 on the road. The level of competition is going to be upped, no question. But as Joe Willis said to me in our bonus Soccer Matters interview, which will be on podcastarena.com after the show tonight and on iTunes, Joe said, Wilmer Cabrera is constantly reminding us of what we did in Monterrey against Tigres in front of 40,000 people, and that is competed. And as I said to Joe, I said, yeah, that wasn't a night where you were sitting back defending deep the entire evening, fighting for your lives. There were moments of good work on the ball and some buildup, and there were chances. So that is a wonderful measuring stick for Wilmer Cabrera to use with the Dynamo and to continually go back to. Now, the Dynamo are a more mature team because of Kiki Struna, Matias Vera. These are great signings. These are great signings. And I think you have to throw in there right now, Minor Figueroa. Now, the question is, as an older man, how much does Figueroa have to give? And for how long can he give? And when will Alejandro Fuenmayor begin to, play into this picture? 713-780-3776. What do you think of the Dynamo season so far? Let's talk Premier League today as well, because, rough result for Manchester United. They go up 1-0 in a game that they come out looking like they are sharp as can be. And then they get ambushed at the Molineux by Wolves 2-1. So it starts like this. Scott McTominay scores a goal in the 13th minute. Nice hit. Hits the side netting. And Manchester United fan, I want to hear from you. 25th minute, though, a mistake. And these things, this is where the margins of international football, and sometimes in some of the European leagues, this is a much higher margin. There is a less margin of error than there is in MLS when mistakes are made, because mistakes in those leagues are punished. They are punished 9 out of 10 times. So De Gea plays the ball central right up the field to Fred. And if Fred collects it and turns properly, he's got plenty of time to get his head up and pick somebody out. Thing bounces off Fred. It's one back by Wolves. and they play in Diego Jota, and he ties it up in the 25th minute, then the game changes completely. So the loss of possession there, the game changes completely. Chris Smalling, an own goal in the 77th. Raul Jimenez, the Mexican international, continuing to do good things, impressing people, laid on the pass to Jota. But United goes down 2-1. And Young getting sent off in the 57th minute made life even more difficult. The last goal that they gave up, the own goal in the 77th, was a mess. And David De Gea did not look good on that. So, United fans, the love fest is over. We got Ole now. I'm glad he's been hired. It's wonderful, but the focus now has to be on progress in the future and not leaning back to the Alex Ferguson years all the time and using that as the measuring stick. So, Fulham today relegated after losing. They join Huddersfield in their fate of dropping to the championship, and the climb out of that is never easy, especially if there's a fire sale and you lose some of your top players. So what a race we have in the Premier League. 713-780-3776. Liverpool, 79 points. Manchester City, 77. Arsenal, 63. They jump over Spurs after Spurs go down to Liverpool 2-1. Huge blunder from Hugo Lloris. You know, I love the talk and I love the new modern goalkeeper, right? Great feet. You got to be a great passer of the ball. Sometimes you're more of a soccer player than you are of a goalkeeper. But I'll be damned if goalkeepers are going to not be able to catch and hold things, okay? And that's what we saw with Lloris. And he's a great goalkeeper. There's no question. But your hands and the position of goalkeeper, you have an advantage because you use your hands. And I love it when I see goalkeepers who can play with their feet. I despise it when I see them make simple blunders that are simple catching and handling moments. So Spurs, I don't think any question in the future are going to need to spend. And their storyline has to be more than their stadium. They're in a fight to stay in the Champions League place. They're on 61 points, tied with United. United had an opportunity to jump them today. And in fact, could have jumped Arsenal as well. So they stay pat. Chelsea's on 60. Liverpool and United have played 32 matches with 6 or 7 to go. But one thing you know about Liverpool, and the reason they've given up a ridiculous amount of goals, and I'm going to come back with that amount. It's just they've given up so few goals, is Virgil van Dijk. Best center back in the world, bar none. You can argue with me. You won't win the argument. 713-780-3776. Let's get some phone calls in. 713-780-3776. What's on your mind, Premier League fans? Let's get some talk going. I see AY wants to talk a little bit. What's on your mind, MLS fans? 3.5 goals scored. The Dynamo for real, Dynamo fans? You tell me. It's a better team. I don't think there's any question. Judgment Day will come when we start playing the LAFCs and the Sporting Kansas Cities. But this is an improved Dynamo. I don't think there's any question. 4-1 winners on the road at Colorado. Remember, the Dynamo had only won 3 on the road in MLS regular season play in the last 2 years. They had not won in Colorado for 11 years. And I'm going to tell you why stats don't mean a thing. Because if you look at stats after the Dynamo-Colorado game, you would have said, wow, Colorado dominated this game. No, they didn't. The Dynamo controlled this from start to finish. Forget about altitude and all these other elements that everybody talks about. Tomorrow night, a night for champions, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Federal American Grill, 510 Shepherd. You're going to mix with Bill Worrell, the Houston Rockets play-by-play man, Bill Brown, Houston Astros play-by-play man, myself. We're going to talk our experience, professional sports, game calling as play-by-play men and commentators, travels, road, athletes who find it interesting. There will be some interesting behind-the-scenes stuff. Very intimate, $100. Get your tickets at Eventbrite right now. I got a pair of tickets for the fifth caller at 713-780-3776. These tickets are $100 a piece. Three-course meal, whiskey tasting right now. Fifth caller, 713-780-3776. We will reserve you 2 spots tomorrow night because they're going fast. There's not many left at the Federal American Grill for a night for champions. And all this goes to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation and Curing Children's Cancer Fund for pediatric cancer research. Fifth caller right now. You get a pair of tickets. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
Pull up in motor cash. I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hairston, Minotis now. Elise making the run for it. Here's Albert. And Albert Elise has gotten his goal, La Panterita. He is clearly the five-star entertainment today here in Commerce City.
Oh, that's a corner, and that's fantastic. How about that? A first hat-trick in LAFC colors for Carlos Vela. Rooney! What a goal from Wayne Rooney! And DC United 2-0 up on Orlando on the road.
Well, those were some of the goals from around Major League Soccer. Again, I told you, 42 goals scored, a 3.5 average per game. And a lot of this is down to the fact that teams around the league are signing more and more game-changing type players. You heard the names there. Elise, Rooney, Christian Nemeth had a hat trick. Carlos Vela had a hat trick. These are players that on their own can create their own chances, score goals, and teams now are not dependent on one or two anymore. They've got three or four, maybe even five potentials when it comes to scoring goals now. So there are more game changers in Major League Soccer. TAM and GAM, this allocation money, has afforded teams the opportunity to go buy more and more game changers. And that is what's happening in Major League Soccer. And there are clubs that are ambitious like crazy. You heard Albert Elise's goal call in there. He made the team of the week for the Houston Dynamo. By the way, it's two straight games. Albert Elise, seven straight goals, has played a part of it. So we're talking Premier League right now, Champions League. We get your thoughts on Manchester United. We'll get your thoughts on the Premier League. And I just want to make one quick point here about the Dynamo Colorado game. And it's for all of you who determine games based on analytics, okay? Analytics don't always quantify what's going on. There's a lot of articles being written by people that are not even watching the game and using their eye. And they're making a lot of judgments. So if you didn't see the score line and you looked at the stats, you would have said, well, Colorado would have won this game. The Dynamo were outshot 20-10. They were outpossessed. They lost more duels, one-on-one duels, to Colorado than they won. They made 47 less passes than the Colorado Rapids. The Rapids had a 13-4 advantage in crosses. There were 15 Dynamo clearances to 4. Probably more of those in the second half when the Dynamo had the lead and were defending. The passing accuracy was also in favor of Colorado. So the analytics all lean to the Rapids. Now, if you watch this game, the Dynamo dominated this game from minute 1 to minute 90. They were in control the entire game. Colorado was naive tactically. They didn't know how to deal with Albert Elise. Poor Dylan Serna had to be taken out of the game. I felt sorry for him. He was targeted. They left him isolated with him. They continued to push him forward on the left side instead of telling the kid just to stay home the first 15, 20 minutes and see what's going to occur here with Albert Elise, especially without without Romelu Kyoto in the lineup, right? You only had one speed demon and one wide penetrator to deal with. So the plan was a mess. I don't know what's going on in Colorado. I honestly don't know. I don't know what they're trying to be. I don't know what they're trying to do. They're another one of these teams that says, well, we got a 4 or 5 year plan. And that happens every year and they don't make the playoffs. And I just, you know, and that goes back to this podcast that Alexi put together today that was spot on. You know who's going for it and you know who isn't in MLS. I think that's the bottom line. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to get a couple of calls in now. 713-780-3776. By the way, congratulations to Sean Kelly coming to the event tonight. So Sean is from Webster, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow night at the Federal Grill for our event. Bill Worrell, Houston Rockets commentator. Bill Brown, Houston Astros. These guys are legends. Talking experiences around being play-by-play men and being in television and sports. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Really intimate. You can still get tickets at Eventbrite. And we're raising money for pediatric cancer research. Let's go to Chip, who wants to talk about Manchester United. Chip, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn. Great show as always. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm having fun. We got Lothar Matthäus coming up. We got a lot of great guests on the program tonight, so we're doing nothing but having fun, Chip.
One of the greatest number 10s to ever wear the German strip, that's for sure.
No question.
Well, I tell you what, I was calling to add my 2 cents on the Man U debacle today, and I got to tell you, Glenn, you've played for some great captains in your day, but why Young wears the captain's armband for United is beyond me. And it's not just what you do on the field, it's what you do off the field. And when you've got Marcus Rojo and Romero in the 95th minute yucking it up, telling jokes on the sideline, laughing while your team is slowly seeing their top four finish fade into the sunset is a real commentary on his lack of leadership. And then the stupid yellows. On top of that, I thought that was really a huge turning point.
Yeah, I didn't
today.
See that image. Was that an image on during the broadcast that you saw, obviously?
Yeah. Rojo and Romero, the Argentinians, they were having a good laugh about something. Clearly not something that sat well with United supporters, that's for sure.
So United came out today with De Gea, Lindelof, Smalling, Young, who got the two yellows. He sent off in the 57th. Shaw, Pogba, Fred, McTominay, Dalot, Pogba didn't seem very involved in this game. Lindegaard and Lukaku. Now, United with a 1-0 lead had chances in the air with Lindegaard and Lukaku. Especially
right.
Lindegaard's, I thought, should have been a goal. Things could have been completely different.
A sitter.
Yeah, and then De Gea hits a straight ball up the middle of the field to Fred, which he had enough time to get turned and face this. I'm not going to blame this. I've heard some people saying De Gea shouldn't have played it to him, but no, a player Fred's caliber has to be able to turn there and build the attack. Thing bounces off him, and it leads to the tying goal. And to me, the game just changed completely then.
I mean, United was starting to return to the ascendancy. And then once, Young bought that second stupid studs up yellow and he was arguing with the referee. It's like, how the heck can you argue that call? It's so obvious that was going to buy you a ticket to the locker room and put your team down at a critical time, which no player should do, let alone the captain. But I think there's some trouble afoot and Man U that Ole's going to have to settle out. And I hear it looks like Herrera is going to probably take the offer to go to PSG. He wasn't even I think on the bench today to play. So it looks like he's probably going to make that transfer.
Yeah, things are going to happen. I don't think there's any question. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer now will have a little bit more say in what's going to happen with players now that he's been named the full-time manager. I mean, it's a shame for United because they could have jumped to 64. They would have been in third place. There's no telling, as we go game by game here with 6 or 7 games to go for all the teams in this amazing, incredible race. Let's just take Manchester United out of it right now. This is an amazing race that we have going on in the Premier League. With Liverpool and Manchester City, it's a difference of 2 points. And then you got Arsenal, Spurs, United, and Chelsea. You know, there's a difference between these teams of 3 points or less battling it out for what is Mega Millions if you end up in the top four. So you end up out of the top four. It's millions and millions of dollars you lose out on.
Well, I mean, when you consider where United were, I mean, they were all but left for dead when Mourinho left and Ole took over, and the run that he's had has been nothing short of miraculous. But, at a time when you've got to continue that run of good form, they're stumbling at the most inopportune time.
Yeah, no question about it. Listen, Chip, thank you very much for calling
in
tonight.
Absolutely,
we
Glenn.
Do appreciate
Enjoying
it.
The show, man.
And well, don't fret. There's more games to come for United. It's not over yet.
Miles to go before we sleep, my friend. Have a good night and enjoying the show.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to AY. AY wants to stick on the Premier League topic. Where are you, Dynamo fans, tonight? 713-780-3776. Let's go to AY. AY, what's up?
Nothing much. How are you doing tonight?
It's good to hear your voice, AY. How are you?
I'm fine. I just want to make a comment on the Premiership.
Yes.
It's like the VAR has to come into place. I'm a Chelsea fan. But the truth of the matter was that on Sunday, Cardiff City got robbed.
Yes.
That's a fact. Because the goal that Aspicoleta scored was an offside goal. Whereas if they had a VAR to it, that goal would have been reversed. So the Premiership should come back, should come on time with a VAR. Of course, I'm happy that we won, either by crook or by hook. But think of it, if I was a Chelsea fan and Arsenal scored that kind of goal, I will come to your show and be shouting all day long. That's the truth.
VAR is going to be there next year. I've heard a lot of people say it should be implemented right here, right now. It's going to be brought in next year, finally. I'm going to just look at the Cardiff City thing a little bit different. Yes, they got hard done, but God, they play awful soccer. I mean, who likes that soccer that they play? I mean, honestly, I can't sit through 90 minutes of that. Can you? My life is too short and too important to me.
But it's still part of soccer.
No, I understand it was a bad call. But, you know, what would jump out to me more is the soccer they're playing. And, you know, I watched a little bit of it, and I can't watch this anymore.
Then quick question, one more question before I go.
Yes.
You think Chelsea, or who do you predict will make the top four? We know Liverpool and Man City, that's for sure. Then among Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, and Manchester United, which of those four teams will make the top four in the Premiership? And I have to go.
Yeah.
I'll see you sometime when you are out in town.
Okay, AY, thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be a bit of a guess, and I haven't looked too deep into the final fixture lists yet for these teams, but I think Arsenal's a little bit steadier now than Spurs. I think Spurs is going to have to do some spending this summer. I think we got to see what sort of response Manchester United has after this tough day against Wolves. So I think those are a couple of things to think about. Now, today Barcelona 4-4 with Villarreal. Atletico Madrid beat Girona 2-0. It's Barcelona 70 points, Atletico's 62. It's Barcelona's to lose. In the Bundesliga, we mentioned the big Clásico this weekend between Borussia Dortmund at Bayern Munich. This is going to be a remarkable matchup. We're going to have Matt Herman on the show from Talking Fußball to talk about that match in the second hour. We're going to have Sophie Schmidt of the Houston Dash, who is also a Canadian international approaching 200 caps. Canada, they got a feeling they could win it this summer in France in the FIFA Women's World Cup. So don't forget to tune in. Sophie's excellent. Premier League, we already talked about the standings there. Tijuana in the Copa MX with Oscar Perea against Club America tonight at 9 p.m. You don't want to miss that. Thursday, CONCACAF Champions League, Sporting Kansas City at Rayados in Mexico. Hey, do you remember Lionel Miranda, the former Houston Dynamo midfielder? Guess what? He is a starter. He wears the number 10. He's the playmaker for Defensa in Argentina, who's going to end up either second or third in the Argentine Superliga. It's interesting to see where former Dynamo players go and former players go, period. Coming up, second hour, Lothar Matthäus. We will also have Sophie Schmidt, Canadian international, and Matt Herman of Talking Fußball. First hour is in the books. Keep listening. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And don't forget the event tomorrow night. It's over at the Federal Grill. Starts at 6:30. It's for pediatric cancer. Fundraising. Great event. Bill Worrell will be there. Play-by-play man, Houston Rockets. Bill Brown, Houston Astros. Glenn Davis, Houston Dynamo. Proudly, we will all be there tomorrow night. We're raising funds. We're raising awareness. Kevin Klein also there. Another radio personality in Houston. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6:30. Second hour is coming up. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.